The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, if we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let everyone test his own work, and so he will have glory in himself only, and not in comparison with another. For each one will bear his own burden. And let him who is instructed in the word share all good things with his teacher. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, so he will also reap. For he who sows in the flesh, from the flesh also will reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap life everlasting. And in doing good, let us not grow tired. For in due time we shall reap if we do not relax. Therefore, while we have time, let us do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith and the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. And as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a large gathering from the town was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, had compassion on her, and said to her, "Do not weep." And he went up and touched the stretchers, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he gave him to his mother. But fear seized upon all, and they began to glorify God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I merely point out to you the points of the bulletin, today's bulletin, which you can read for yourselves, but there's one thing that I do want to emphasize this morning, and that is, again, this week, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday are the fall Ember Days, and are days, therefore, of fast and abstinence. Wednesday and Saturday, meat may be eaten once at the main meal, but at the other meals we should do without of meat, and to keep our meals moderate. You know the rules of fasting and abstinence. Friday, of course, is Friday. Ember Days were set up four times a year at the beginning of each new season. They were very important days. Those days, everybody was a crop maker. And the importance for everybody, the importance of the crop for everybody, was absolutely a matter of life or death. And the Ember Days were placed at the beginning of each season as days of special prayer, begging God for the protection of crop or whatever, so that they would have the security of that finished and successful crop, which for them, as I said, meant life or death. Today, there are no crop makers to be even spoken of. I doubt that there's anybody in here who is a crop maker and is completely dependent on crop, as once we were. Oh, we have little gardens, and we piddle around here, and we piddle around there, and there's work involved in it, yes, but it's not as serious a matter as once upon a time. But we still have serious matters to talk about and to think about and to act upon. Therefore, and particularly today, with things in the present day being in the absolute state of chaos and confusion, I think that at the beginning of each new season, we have every reason in the world to pray for protection and success. Therefore, my beloved people, I encourage you to really take these days seriously and to do something, something over and above what you normally do. And don't forget to offer it up. Don't forget to make the intention. It's not a matter of, well, we don't eat on Wednesday this, on Friday that, and Saturday the other. No. We are doing a very definite thing for a very definite reason. And we have to remember that so that what we do will be really noteworthy in the eyes and ears and the attention of Almighty God. So I encourage you to do something over and above and try to live up to the fast and fasting laws and the abstinent laws that are set for that particular time. Today is the feast of Saint Hildegard, and as far as I'm concerned, is a very lovely feast of a lovely, lovely saint. Let us pray to Saint Hildegard, who was noted for whatever it was in those days, for her medicinal abilities and information and all that. Let us consult Saint Hildegard and ask her for her help and protection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, over the last few weeks, we have laid stress, heavy stress even, on stressful discussions. And the stressful discussions of these few weeks have centered their attention upon what is required for me to be a good Catholic. What is required of me to be at all a Catholic. And as we all know, there has been much argument and debate and everything. And as we look back over the last whatever number of years you wish to look, to what good has argument ever brought us? So, I'm not going to continue in that line of reasoning and talking and discussing and preaching, because it is disturbing, and it is caused by people who have disturbance in their hearts and minds, perhaps, but I'm not judging. We now, I wish they were here, but they're not, we ordered several copies of the Baltimore Catechism number 4. It has not yet arrived. I don't know why. And I'm going to place these, we're going to place these in the back of the church. And when they arrive, I would like for each family to pick up one copy of this and bring it home with them. and to use it as your reference book. Whatever question comes up, my beloved people, I promise you, you will find the answer to it in that book. That must be our textbook. After that, the matter is closed. So be it. The past few weeks, we have spoken on what is required to be a Catholic. Today, we're going to go back to our usual way of teaching. And today, from here forth, please God, for your benefit and our benefit, we are going to center our attention on what is required of me and what is required of you to become a saint. My beloved people, can any one of you get up and testify that there is something that you have to do and that I have to do that is more important than that? Let the philosophers philosophize. Let the theologians theologize, or whatever the word is. Let the debaters debate. Let the argumenters argue. Let the saints work to become saints. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen. Nothing else matters. We have to keep in mind, my beloved people, purpose. What is our purpose? Let us go back to the beginning. When Almighty God, who was there and looked about and saw that there was a void, that there was nothing, my beloved people, when we speak of nothing, you ask us, what are you thinking about? I say, oh, nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. And I can't tell you what nothing is, really, because the human mind cannot conceive of what nothing is. It's not, we're not capable of grasping nothing. A complete void. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I don't mean the absence of the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the trees, the frogs, the horses, and whatever. I don't mean any of that. I mean nothing. And out of that nothing, things were happening. Things were happening. And he scraped up out of that nothing And everything we see was made. And out of that nothing, 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 you and I came to be. How can we understand that? And the nothing that you are, and the nothing that I am, was so important to Almighty God. Because when tragedy hit nothing, and that which he had done had been frustrated, that nothing, nothing, concentrate on just the word, nothing, was so important to him that he sent himself, really, he sent his only son, really, to make it so that that nothing, which all he had to do is stop thinking of nothing that we are, and it would all go back to void. And the only thing that keeps you there and me here, and the sun and the moon and the stars and so on, is because his thought is upon us. That's all that keeps us here. But yet we are so terribly important to him that he himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, the second person, came to earth to do something about the tragedy that had happened, whereby this nothing that we are became to him once again available for purpose. And what is that purpose, my beloved people? Only to be with him. He did not scrape up the slime of the earth and to form us and to put image in that slime of the earth. He did not do that, my beloved people, simply to make you and me a companion, a playmate of the devil. Did he? It's inconceivable to think of such. He did not do this and put me here simply because the devil likes our companionship. Did he? He made me, and he made you for the single solitary purpose to be with himself. Nothing else matters. And so what is it for us to do? We know these things, very much of this, we know this. We have two things we have to deal with, our mind and our intellect and our will. All the argument. See, and here comes the absolute stupidity of all of this shenanigans of arguing and debating, talk. It all feeds the mind. And the mind, as Shakespeare once said, is as inconstant as the moon. Every time you look at the moon, it's different, isn't it? And with us in our minds, no matter how dedicated we are, no matter what, you, since you've been in this room, how many thoughts have come through your mind? Could you even begin to count them? As many thoughts have come to your mind as there have been visions and photographs made by your eyes when you entered this room. The photographs that your eyes have made in these last few minutes are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of photographs. Our minds work the same way. However, our minds gather up information, important information, which does eventually give me the wherewithal. The important point is, when I look at purpose, when I study purpose, when I study reason for being here, the information that I can gather up like little crops, little fruit off of the tree, the all-important work of the will comes in. And I have to make a decision. And that decision must be unbendable when it comes to purpose, except for those who have, for their own reasons, whatever the reasons may be, have made it their decision, unbendable also, to be companions of the underworld. And they work in that direction. Salvation must be the decision that all of us who have been touched by the grace of God must be our decision. Sanctity must be our decision. And how is sanctity manifested? Love. I'm not here speaking of affection. Affection is the place not for the world. Again, as inconstant as the moon. 1 minute on, 1 minute off. 1 minute on, 1 minute off. Love is enduring, it is abiding, it is forever in me, and nothing again can change that in me. And I have decided, again, by the grace of God, how can if we go back again, emphasizing, playing on the word of nothing. How can nothing make decision except that it be done by the touch of Him who made me out of the slime of the earth? And so, by that touch, it is my desire, it is my wish, it is my will to love God with all the strength I've got. And that I must put everything in second place. Now, my beloved people, I know what you're thinking. Well, no doubt he is referring primarily to monks and nuns and so on and so on, people who have dedicated their lives for that reason and reason alone. No, I'm not. Our purpose and your purpose is the same. He's not going to bring only monks and nuns to their reward. What about you? Have you been left out in the cold? Not so. Not so at all. You and we that you see in front, the sisters and the brothers and the priests and so on, what's the difference between your soul and our souls? Nothing. It is only to the degree that your souls and our souls reflect Him. And to the degree that we reflect Him, you or us, to that degree do we love. And to that degree are we loved back. I have to quickly quit. But I got to say this. In the physical life, we hear every day of people having blood clots. And that when there is a clot of blood, what happens? Blood stops flowing. And as soon as blood stops flowing, what happens? We call it stroke. It's a deadly thing in most cases. Life cannot exist without a proper flow of blood. And a clot of blood stops that flow just like that, and as quick as that. Now, why am I talking about that? In all of this, if you will simply gather it all together and bring it up all together, the things that I'm talking about today, the things we talked about last Sunday, the Sunday before that, etc., etc., all our bulletins, whatever, what you get in by way of the mail, all that stuff, gather all of that up and put it together. And what has that done for me? The only thing that I must be concerned about, just as I am concerned, and more so, because it is much more vital, who is it in here? Any one of you, young or old, me, or any of us, who gives scant importance to physical stroke? Every one of you and every one of us is subject to that terror and that fear. Blood has to flow to keep me alive without hindrance. That's this thing. You see, this thing here. Blood has to flow to keep this thing going. But this thing here, we know, is going to be quickly put into a box someday in God's mind and will be brought back to the earth, which says, you belong to me. Soul. What keeps my soul alive? Please take the word alive in its proper context. What keeps my soul alive? Grace. Without grace, my soul is dead. Again, keep that word dead or alive in proper context. You know what I'm saying. And the channels of grace have to be flowing in my soul in the identical way that blood flows in my body. And when I allow sin, argument, extraordinary interest in the things that we, in material things, debate and all that stuff that has nothing to do with grace, all in the world is happening is that I am causing clot in that channel of grace. And as soon as that happens, grace stops. And my soul will suffer the consequences. Did you understand that? I'm not saying by this that the people outside, you, who have to go out and make your crops, you know, to make a living, an honest living, you've got to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's admirable, that's necessary, and you've got to do it. But that doesn't mean that what we're talking about in here has to be silenced. Not at all. We all have our individual crop to grow, and that has to be done, but only secondarily to the first obligation, my own sanctity, my own salvation, nothing else matters. Therefore, precious people, when you come to this place, I'm not boasting. I'm not trying to talk through my ears. The only reason why we come here is to learn how to become saints in order to fulfill the only reason why we were made, to be with Him, to enjoy Him for all eternity. Blessed people, what else is there to talk about?